Hello, welcome. Sorry, guys. This has been a while in the waiting, but we are finally here. And to talk through the what game we talking about? Is it Vorska, guys? It's been that long, isn't it? Yeah. That the 2-1 away win against Bournemouth. And I'll be joined this evening by Jason and Ellis. Hey, guys.
Good evening.
Hello. Finally be here.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a disaster. We can only say there's various different reasons to do with it. But guys, remember to write down your passwords and everyone who needs access to them to have access to those passwords. But we're now here anyway, and let's get cracking on the game. But what we shall do first is go to the chat box because we know you've been chomping at the bit to get in here and talk Arsenal with us. So, a little shout out to we've got Joshua Page in there as always. Stan the man, 40-50. Loki 73 got in there as well. Archie, great shout out for you guys as well. Thumbs up as always. It's what keeps Jace watered and fed. And should we start with the lineups, guys? Ellis, what did you reckon? We saw a back five come in.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I didn't think it was what we'd line up with. Obviously, Laka still got that injury that's stopped him from actually going into the France squad for the first time since being omitted from it in the World Cup. But yeah, I wasn't too keen on it. Obviously, we'll go into it in more detail later. But I was quite shocked that we'd go for, I think, is it possibly the first time that Emery's played it in a competitive match this season? Or am I forgetting maybe a Europa League game here or there, who knows? But yeah, I was quite surprised to see that. I think we were having the discussion on previous radio shows or podcasts that Kolasinac really struggles at playing actual left back, but sometimes looks quite good at left wing back. So potentially, even though he didn't, potentially had the potential to have a good game at left wing back. And I think it showed really in our performance that we haven't really played with a back three or a back five under Emery, because we seem to struggle at times. I think the back three didn't really know when to go out a bit wider and cover space. And we'll go on about the goal we conceded as well in a bit later as well. But in terms of the actual starting 11, if that's the formation that we're going to go for, there wasn't really much surprise there. I think Granit Xhaka and Torreira have really cemented themselves as the midfield centre mid partnership for the rest of the season, unless one of them gets injured. Slightly shocked to see Mkhitaryan. Don't really know what to make of Mkhitaryan's games recently. He's very hit and miss, but again, we'll probably come onto that more about him later. But yeah, I don't think there was too much surprise in the actual personnel, just really how we laid out.
Yeah, Shredder, do you think there was any surprises in there? We know Bournemouth like to start fast in games, so do you think this was a way to try and slow them down, having five at the back?
Yeah, most likely and for sure, slow them down and create some solidity for us. The problem was it was very difficult to see that it was five at the back with, the wing backs pushed so far up for so much of the match. I'm sure we are going to come on to that, but no, I think the biggest surprise was probably for me Mkhitaryan coming in for Ozil there, especially for the fact that you could have played, Iwobi on the right or something like that. It was really sort of interesting how that worked out. But no, it was I think it was, the right approach from the formation. I think once we actually got onto the pitch though, it broke down a little bit, and like Ella said, you could tell we hadn't really trained a whole lot or done, done anything with the back five probably enough to really warrant it. But if you're going to do that against a team, no offense to Bournemouth, but they're one of those teams who you can sort of trot something out against and still probably get a result. So as much complaining as we're probably going to end up doing, because we're all in a bad mood because of Password Gate 2018, I'm still super thrilled with 3 points on the road against a tough opponent. So let me just go ahead and say that, we're all in a little foul mood because we've been, scrambling around here, but 3 points and keeping our unbeaten streak going is a big deal, and we should all be proud of that.
Yeah, we should add Password Gate is not the new password for the account as well, 2018. But Ellis, the start of that game, what did you really think about it? Bournemouth were coming at us a lot. And then coming up into about the 25th, 26th minute, finally we put a cross in from Kolasinac, and what a finish from Lerma.
Yeah, Lerma bless him. He didn't have the great game. An own goal. I think he got quite a questionable foul as well, where he just pulled Mustafi to the ground. And other than that shot where he hit the post, where he probably could have redeemed himself, he didn't really do anything else for the rest of the game. Yeah, I think up until about 20 minutes, Bournemouth seemed to be on top of Arsenal, and they had a lot more of the possession. They had more of the chances. Like you said, they're breaking at speed, and you could sort of see that we weren't used to this sort of back five play. I feel for Xhaka because he gets a lot of criticism. He also gets a lot of praise, and rightly so, especially this season. But I think it's quite difficult for, we all know his weaknesses, he's not very fast. And when they sort of counter like that, and you've only got him and Torreira there, and our wing backs are bombing on forward and sort of left him alone, you're going to struggle a bit. But we weathered the storm. And then I think it was another, I think the goal that we did score started from, I think Hector Bellerin was pushing, pressing quite up the pitch, and Torreira latched onto the loose ball, passing it to Iwobi, who then played Kolasinac in. And I sort of swore at the cross because it was a dodgy ball and he couldn't even really see who he was trying to aim it at. And Paul Lerma can fly in and volleyed it into his own net. And from that point on until pretty much the goal, the equaliser they got, we were on top. We looked more comfortable. There was some good link-up play with Mkhitaryan and Bellerin, especially on that right. Although Mkhitaryan, again, like I said earlier, was a very hit and miss today, he did sort of link up well with Bellerin. And for me, Bellerin going forward looked really well. Other than, I know Kolasinac has got the two assists today, but I didn't think his balls or deliveries in the box were very good. Whereas I thought Bellerin had some better deliveries in there, and we were unlucky not to score from. There was another chance sort of earlier on the first half where I think Cook might have just got across where it was going straight for away when he probably would have put that in the net. But yeah, it's typical of Emery or this Arsenal team this season to start slow. And I thought for the first time this season in the Premier League, we were going to go in winning the first half, but obviously it weren't to be. And it's frustrating. I'm not really sure what we can do or what Emery can do to stop the team from performing like this. Obviously, we've got one of the best records in the second half in the league, but if we can sort the first half out, then we'll be laughing. We'll be a strong unit, and it makes me worry. But it's also strange as well against Liverpool. Our first half against them, I thought was quite good, probably the best first half display we've done in the league. But we sort of reverted back to type in the last two games we played in the Premier League. So it's going to be difficult. Something that we need to really sort of focus on, and the team needs to focus on, and get out of this sort of habit we've got of starting slow, because it's going to come and bite us in the arse. And we saw it in the previous game against Wolves. We had a slow start, and we couldn't quite make up the ground that we lost because of that. So it's difficult. But again, I'll echo what Jason said. 3 points after another difficult game, we've just got to take them. We've got to take all the points we can. And I think this marks our fourth away win this season, which is more than we got last season, or equaled what we've got last season. So we're improving. It might be slow. It might be frustratingly slow, but it's an improvement nonetheless.
Just gonna have to cut you there as well, Ellis, on that wonderful ramble. Yvonne and J Rob, what's going on? You've donated. That's amazing. You're too good for us. Thank you so much.
We're gonna pay for a password keeper app for all of us to share with that money. So it's obviously much appreciated.
Thank you very much. And Shredder, let's chat about Mickey, because I've got it noted at the
Yeah,
35th minute was when he put out a particularly poor pass out to the wing, or Hector, should grow a couple of inches. This depends on which side of
let's.
the argument you're on. But is he just out of form, or is he just plain bad?
I think this is the Sanchez at United is the worst Sanchez possible. We're getting the Mkhitaryan from United that was inconsistent because he was having to play so much, going back and defending under Mourinho. But now that he's with us, he's not having to do that. But his offensive form to me hasn't really changed. He's a player who can absolutely play a pass, but that can absolutely play the wrong pass as well. I think this season specifically, he has been just one half beat off of everybody else on the pitch around him. And he's gotten away with it at times because he scored a couple of goals. He's got a couple of assists. But at the same time, he's had games like today where, yeah, he can link up really well with these little interconnections between him and Bellerin on the right. But then anything else, and even some of those, the decision-making, the timing of it is completely wrong, and it just completely kills any momentum we have. And I don't know if he's maybe just trying to overthink it because he thinks I need to play myself into this team and he's trying to force it and he's too much in his own head or what's going on. But he's got to be a player who's doing so well in training that, you know, Emery just can't afford to not pick him after what he sees during the week. And unfortunately, maybe, you know, the way that we're training is more suited to his game than the opponents that we're playing. And you know, that's possibly a worry, but that's the only thing that I can really think of is the fact that, you know, he's just doing so well in the week during training that Emery thinks I can't not play him if he's doing this well. But then, you know, other teams are being able to neutralize him very well. And he just, his decision-making to me and the timing of his decisions, it's just, it's not good. Cause I think there is a player there. I think we've all seen the flashes of it. He just needs to become more consistent with it. I don't think he's had that consistency since he left Dortmund. And I hope he can find it for us because I want him to do well. I really like him as a player, really like him as a person. He just he's frustrating to watch, especially on days like today when, you know, you're lucky enough to get the 3 points, but you just see all the potential that is there and it's just unfulfilled right now. And that's the worst part about it.
Yeah, definitely. Ellis, let's move on to just before half time. This is like going back to the Wenger era with what I've written down here. Arsenal are up in the opposition box and there's a counter attack and they score. Talk us through it. What occurred? King with the goal.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. Like you said, it is. It's a harken back to the Wenger era at Arsenal. Poor game management, really. I don't think you can really argue otherwise. A lot of players bombing forward. Bellerin was up there. Mkhitaryan was up there. Iwobi was up there. Minutes before halftime, you could see how close we were to halftime with the referee blowing the whistle literally as soon as we kicked off after they'd scored. And too many people pushed forward. And we were left with the back three. Xhaka, I think. Xhaka, Bellerin and someone else. I'm trying to think who else got back. It definitely wasn't Kolasinac. God knows where he was. I think he was still in their half when they actually countered. But we all piled through. Iwobi turned it over inside their box and they just bombed forward. And we saw it in the first half a lot with their quick counter-attacking, good passing moves. And like I think you said in the WhatsApp chat, there were 7 Arsenal players back there and only 4. And we just didn't defend well at all. Again, it harks back to the back five, back three. Our back three were far too narrow and there was too much space for the guys who were counter-attacking there. And they just picked it up. I think Crook picked it up and then passed it into King. He slotted it away. And I was just trying to watch the replay or the highlights at halftime to try and see who was all there. And again, Xhaka's pace, he hasn't got quite enough pace to get back there. Bellerin, I think Jamie Redknapp on the commentary highlighted how Bellerin hasn't tracked back. And that's something I've noticed. I went to the Wolves game and I noticed it a lot watching it live, not on telly, looking at Bellerin. He's great at getting forward. He's got a lot of pace, but recently I've been noticing he hasn't been tracking back as well. And he did. He put the burners on, but it was too little too late. And as for Kolasinac, the other wing back, he didn't even bother to come back. I mean, at least Bellerin tried. By all means, he didn't do it well enough and didn't do it quick enough to get back in time. And Rob Holding should have probably drifted out a bit wide, but they all tucked in and it just sort of smacks of a team that haven't really done much training at back five or haven't played together at a back five. You've got to remember Socrates is quite new there. So he hasn't played with either Mustafi and Holding. And I don't think Holding really played that much with Mustafi last season, at least in a back five anyway. And it's just so frustrating because they put the stat up and they've been doing it since it's been a thing, putting up Arsenal first half wins 0, draws 9, losses 2, or whatever it is. And it's just like, just need to get out of that habit. I generally thought we were going to get away with it with a fortuitous own goal, but still I thought we might get away with it. But the game management was pathetic, really. You just need someone, one of these 6 captains that Emery has, to go, look, It's 1 minute up, going up. We need to keep the ball. Don't commit too far forward. Bellerin, Kostanic, just tuck in, stay there. We'll try and keep the ball and we'll stay defensive minded and go into the second half with one goal win. But it turns out we're going with a 1-1 draw, which is something that the lads are probably used to, drawing at half time. But still, it's not quite getting that out.
Yeah, Jace, what did you reckon to that goal as well? I mean, Ellis covered it pretty comprehensively, but was there anything else that you saw about it?
Just the lack of there was one of the replays that I was able to see was sort of a down the pitch from all, like, not completely behind Leno, but just sort of maybe off more toward the corner flag. And we just didn't seem to really want to get back. And that was super disappointing. There were like two people sprinting, even Torreira, who, you know, has got more pace than Xhaka, just seemed to sort of be like, well, I'm not going to get there. So like, why try? And, yeah, it was really unfortunate because it was, I mean, probably, you know, 80 yards between our back three that they were running against. And then basically the rest of the team. And it's, yeah, it was shocking, just absolutely shocking. And we deserve to go in with, if that's the way that we're going to defend a break like that, we deserve to go in, you know, either, you know, drawn or even one down, because that's just, yeah, but like you said earlier, it's very Wenger era sort of type of play that we're just so used to, and we all could probably see it coming from a mile away. And just the lack of effort there was extremely disappointing.
Yeah, so second half started. A couple of interesting moments I think we should go through. Ellis, Xhaka getting caught on the edge of the box in possession. Kolasinac then having, I would say from an Arsenal point of view, Ryan Fraser steps in front of him and goes over in the box. Was that a foul or was it a penalty? Was it a penalty or was it a yellow card for diving?
For me, it's not a penalty. Probably by the letter of the law, if you're going to be a bit harsh, it's a yellow card, but we see it all the time in the Premier League. People don't really get booked for diving unless it is blatantly obvious. But for me, not a penalty. I don't know what what Jason thinks or what you think, but I wouldn't call that a penalty. I think we're lucky in the first half with the goal that wasn't given, that maybe with VAR when Mustafi's laying on the floor and they call it offside. But for me, that was the right decision by the referees.
Yeah, Jace, did you reckon with that decision, just a don't mention it, move on kind of thing, or get that yellow card out for a dive?
It was a don't mention it. I don't think the ref had a very good game today in general for either team. That was a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole new podcast. That.
Yeah. But yeah, I think he was just trying to stay out of sight, out of mind, and wasn't doing the best job of it. But there, he did stay out of sight, out of mind, and I think was at least able to get away with it. But yeah, best unsaid in that situation.
Yeah. What I will say though is I think Dom's highlighted it a lot on the podcast. We have been getting away with a lot more, say, dodgy decisions. They've been going our way a lot more than they feel like they have been going our way a lot more than previous seasons. And again, with the goal that they scored that was given offside incorrectly with VAR, that might have been turned the other way. But we're certainly getting a rub of the green this season, which helps a lot. It does maybe add some cause for concern when we stop getting the rub of the green, whether we'll get the results. But I'd rather have it now when we're trying to bed this new team and system in than have it later when we don't need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just go through the second half. We tried to break them open, I think, with some more passing moves. Slowly getting broken down again, though. But 66 minute comes along. Excellent ball down from Iwobi again into Kolasinac, who squares it into Aubameyang. Jace, that was our second goal. Ultimately, the winner. What should you reckon to that passing move again to break him up? And
I know it's sort of the Emery standard, I think, with us is that just that nice, slick little pass, and then get the ball out wide, and then cut it back into the middle. You know, we mentioned Kolasinac's crossing earlier, where. If you do notice this, whenever he does go to put the ball in, he rarely looks up. He literally just looks at the ball and is like, I know where I'm at. I'm just going to try to put it in as hard as I can. And luckily we've got, the king of putting those away in Aubameyang, and he was able to slot it home. But that was, some decent passing there leading up to it. Definitely not going to be like goal of the year with some of the other passing that we've seen this year. But we know that that's what we can play when we really turn it on. And it was really good for us to have just a little bit more intensity and sort of decisive passing. And we were much a little more direct in that, I think, in the second half than the first half, which allowed us to be able to get the 3 points. But really happy, good little piece of play. And if you put enough of those sort of blind balls into the box like Kolasinac does, they're gonna find feet sometimes, especially when you've got strikers like Pierre and Lacazette. It's a dangerous combination in the box when either even just one of them is playing like we saw today. You just try to put the ball to his feet somewhere inside that square, and he'll usually try to find a way to tuck it home.
Yeah, Ellis, any more on that goal?
I don't think you can really add much to it. It was a good passing move and a good ball in from Klasnac, which maybe wasn't the case throughout the game. But I think if you put enough balls in, and I think that's something that we have struggled at in the past, is we're used to sort of getting out wide, recycling it back around to the other wing, and just not really penetrating. And sometimes when you've got a particular defensive team that you're trying to break down, just putting a couple of crosses in, getting balls into the box, you're not going to score by just passing it tippy-tappy all around the outside of the area, because it's just going to be hard to break someone down. If a team is defensively organised, you're rarely going to find the gaps, and sometimes you can't. And again, like Jason said, it's typical of Unai Emery's tactics. They sort of bring it out wide and then cut it back in, and it's working well. And I fought for the assist there and the goal scorer. Didn't really have the best of games, but Kolasinac's come out with two assists, and Aubameyang's come out with his seventh Premier League goal, which equals him with Aguero at the top of the scoring league. And for me, he didn't really do anything all game. And in fact, I think Chris brought this up in our WhatsApp chat. I can't think of a time when Aubameyang started at nine and I thought, yeah, he deserves to be at nine. He's played really well. The best I've seen him play this season, certainly, is when he's either come off the bench when teams were a bit ragged and ran at him and got a couple of goals, or when he started alongside Lacazette. He just doesn't seem to be able to play that lone striker role, certainly not in our system with the players we've got anyway. But he's clinical. When he gets chances, he scores them. He had a couple of chances that he's missed, and in the last few games, he's missed some gilt-edged chances that you think he'd probably normally score. But when you're feeding on scraps like he has been, and when you can't, he doesn't really seem to be able to get the ball to stick at him. Whereas Lacazette can get the ball, keep it for a bit, play off someone else. Aubameyang's not really quite good at that. It's not part of his game. He's good at sort of breaking at pace, probably on a counter. He'd probably do really well in a team like Liverpool that counter so quickly. But with us, our counter is still a bit slow. And teams know from previous Arsenal, facing previous Arsenal teams, that if they just sit back and keep compact and counter us, they can get something. And it's just the way it's still going to be. Unless we can prove that we can absorb that and counteract that tactic, it's going to be the way the smaller teams, or the not big teams, or even some of the bigger teams set out against us, because they know they're going to get a result that way.
Yeah, definitely. It's something that I think Emery has to start addressing at some point. But he's got so many other things that we need to deal with at the moment that perhaps at the moment we should, we're 17 games unbeaten at the moment. So perhaps, he's doing some things right. Let's go back into the chat box. We've got 147 of you watching now. I believe I've got 23 likes. As the other Jason would say, tappy tappy.
Tappy
Let's
tappy.
get those likes up, because otherwise he'll shout at us for not only starting at least a half an hour late, but for not getting any likes as well. And you don't want to see him when he's angry. He's a bit like the Welsh Hulk, or the Welsh
When isn't
Kolasinac.
he angry?
This is very true. When isn't he angry?
Isn't that what the Hulk
Also,
is as well? That's his secret. He's always angry.
if you guys have any questions for us as well on the game, get them in now, because we've got a few more points to cover on the game, and then we'll be straight in. And one of Jason or Ellis will be collecting those up and sticking them in our little chat here. Let's go into the straight after the Aubameyang goal. We saw Mkhitaryan go, I'm going to say, full Chelsea Torres, as he is put clean through by Aubameyang. is this just the state of his game, Jace? That he just messed it up, didn't he? That's not really happened.
Can you say that one more time? I was looking for questions in the chat box, and it.
That's all right. I was talking about Mkhitaryan's miss. Just look shortly after the goal.
Yeah, I mean it's Mkhitaryan, and if he's not crossing it, it's probably not going to go in the goal. If we all remember from a few weeks ago, but no, I think that's part of the inconsistency that he and a lot of others on the team have, and you know, even Aubameyang's had a couple of bad misses recently. Is, you know, I was thinking back to that the Wolves game, and just some of the shots that we've had that you would expect us to put away and we don't, and I don't really know what we can do to trade against that or for that. It's just the best teams take their opportunities, and we were lucky today that we didn't, you know, need more opportunities, that we were able to sort of buckle down a little bit better in the second half and not allow them to get another goal, or we would have been in trouble and it could have come back to haunt us, but luckily it didn't.
Ellis, did you reckon to Mkhitaryan's miss as well? Just not ideal.
No, it just wasn't his game today, was it? Like we said, he's so inconsistent for Arsenal. I'm struggling to see what he is good at. He'll just get in situations like that where he's played through and a goal. He's made the run, and that is the only ball that Aubameyang can play to him. So he's obviously expecting the ball to be played for him because he's made that run into that area. And he just gets his feet all muddled up, takes it too wide, and then just has an awful shot. He had a couple of woeful shots, and he just seemed to be shooting balls straight at people and then getting blocked. He just, other than a couple of moments in the first half where he linked all right with Bellerin, he didn't really do much. He's not a player who, for me, I feel confident in him dribbling at players. I don't think we've got a lot of them in our club, in our team at all, but he's definitely not one of them. There was a point in the second half when we're trying to hold up the ball in their corner, and you're like, Mkhitaryan is the last person that I'd trust to hold the ball up in the corner. He's not particularly good at holding on to the ball. He's not really got any skills in his locker that he can pull out to hold on to it. And he just, I don't know what his stats are for the amount of times he turns over the ball, but he just seems to turn it over a lot. And it's frustrating because you've seen him play well for Dortmund. He played well enough for Man United to want to sign him. And when Man United signed him, we were heavily linked with him as well. And he's just not really making the grade at the moment at Arsenal. Again, we were all quite shocked that he's been put in over Mesut Ozil. I think some people would probably say he's a bit more mobile than Ozil, but for me, he's not really justifying his place in the team presently. I know, again, Ozil, another sort of player, another scapegoat, another player who people criticise or don't particularly like or do like. He's a Marmite type player as Ozil, but for me, I'd much rather have him in the team over Mkhitaryan. I can see the strengths and what he brings to the team more than I can see Mkhitaryan. At times, I struggle to see what he does bring to the team. It sounds a bit harsh because he's only been with us since January, but we just can't afford to carry people. And if he's not good enough, then we need to think about moving on and getting someone in that position who can help us win games and does contribute, because he didn't really contribute for me today.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one for the moment for whether or not he should be holding on to that place in the starting 11. We'll go on to substitutions now as well that we saw. A couple of strange ones in that second half. Saw Torreira come off for Guendouzi and Ramsey come on for Iwobi. What did you reckon to those substitutions, Jace? They didn't necessarily seem the logical ones, but...
Definitely not logical, but I didn't think Torreira had his best game today, so I could see wanting to get somebody else on. Guendouzi seems to be sort of next in that pecking order, and then obviously Ramsey came on as well. I think it was just, you know, I don't think we were trying to go too defensive. I think, you know, Emery wanted another goal, but knew we only had really one true attacker to bring on, and Nketiah, which, you know, we definitely saw later. But he was just trying to make sure that we maintained what we had, and I think that's probably where those came from, with Guendouzi coming on for Torreira. It's with Wenger, we always knew exactly what was going to happen, who the sub was going to be for who and what situation. And it may not be logical to us now, but it's part of Emery sort of finding his way with this team. And we're still, you know, just a few months into the actual Emery sort of experiment here. So it's not, you know, it's not like we have a huge, you know, data range to go off of to pull this information from of who he's going to bring on when and how he will approach things tactically in games late like this. So I think, you know, we're learning more and he's learning more as well about the team and who he can and can't bring on and what situations to you know, either see a game out or try to push forward and get another goal to seal a game off, something like that. So that I think that's, for me, one of the funnest things, though, are these uncommon substitutions and substitutions we're not used to, because it means that we're trying new things and we're trying to figure out how to win games in different ways. And that's exciting for me. So a little uncommon, maybe not your standard subs that we would think even with Emery. But again, it's still really early on in his sort of time here. So even he's trying to figure out exactly how he wants to use those. And we're starting to see some of those different combinations the more and more the season goes on, which is really good. And hopefully we get some that work out. You know, hopefully we get those, you know, like Giroud was with us last season, you know, before he moved to Chelsea and coming off the bench and grabbing goals, or, you know, that midfielder who can come on and add some more bite to break up play. Like I think Guendouzi did a decent job of today, not great, but decent. And yeah, that's what we need. And he's still trying to figure that out, and we got to be patient with him. And I like the fact that we can't guess exactly what it is every time like we used to.
Yeah, Alice, what did you reckon to the couple of subs coming on? Because I thought someone like Iwobi, you know, was key to the build-up of both the Kolasinac's assists on that point of view. And yeah, as Jason said on Torreira, he had a mixed game, but there were potentially other candidates that could have come in for him.
Yeah, certainly. I don't think Torreira played that bad, but I'm very biased because he's slowly become one of my favourite players. I just love what he can do, and we haven't had a player like that for such a long time that I'm just enjoying the way he sort of intercepts the ball. And if Jason says he's not had a particularly good game, he's still managed to do his job well. And I think,
yeah,
if that's his bad games, then I don't really mind him having bad games. It wasn't as obvious. So, for me...
First half, he was sloppy in possession, but he turned it around. But a lot of people were early on. So.
But I think with someone who is like that, he might be sloppy in possession, but you know he's going to work hard to win it back. And I think that counts a lot. It's not like Alexis Sanchez was towards the end of his Arsenal career, where he couldn't be asked to try and win the ball back compared to when he first started, where if he lost it, he'd track all the way back and win it back again. But I digress. Yeah, for me, I wasn't too happy with the substitutions. I don't think they particularly changed the game. For me, you probably have to take Torreira off and rest him, because him and Xhaka are so important to the way our team works at the moment, defensively and offensively. So you're going to have to probably rest one of them. I'm not particularly too keen on Guendouzi. I think a lot of people put a lot of pressure on him. I know he started well at the start of the season and played against big teams in Chelsea and Man City, but he's still got a lot of growing, a lot of work needs to be done. And I am surprised that Elneny still hasn't had a look in. He's obviously going to be going. There's a lot of rumours of him leaving in January, but I think Elneny could probably do a job. So I am surprised he's been omitted. Obviously, Emery doesn't fancy him at all. And as for Iwobi, we've said it, Mkhitaryan, I definitely would have took Mkhitaryan off before Iwobi, but at the end of the day, we didn't lose, so you can't really complain too much about the substitutions. And to be fair with Emery, his second half substitutions have been bang on since he's been at Arsenal.
Yeah, you're only saying that about Guendouzi because he's not English, right?
What?
You're only putting Guendouzi down because he's not English.
No, it's because he's French. Don't like the French. Other lack is it.
I've got this theory that Emery wants players in matches to play themselves into form. And there are a couple of times this year, and everybody knows, especially, you know, both of you gentlemen know that I'm a Xhaka apologist, but there were a couple of times this year I thought he deserved to be substituted for the game that he was having, and he didn't. And it seems like Emery, you know, same to today with sort of Mkhitaryan, just once maybe doesn't want to have such a big blow to the confidence. But, you know, at the same time, we've also seen Emery make a substitution at halftime of a player that wasn't playing well, and it's worked out beautifully. So it's really interesting. It's fun that this is our debate, we're talking about odd substitutions instead of Mustafi taking somebody's legs out in the box, or, you know, some terrible refereeing thing. You know, we're sitting here after 3 points discussing, you know, yeah, we still got 3 points today, but like, were these the right substitutions? And we only won like 2-1. These are good arguments and good conversations and debates to have. And I'd rather be having these than any other at this point, that's for sure.
We're talking about Mustafi diving in and taking people out just outside the box. We'll move on to the 95th minute, Jace.
Seamless.
That's called a beautiful transition in the biz, folks.
There we go. We are the best. What can we say? There we go. What do you reckon about that, Jace? Mustafi, he just goes in on
Peak
Wilson
Mustafi.
after Begovic goes full Hail Mary up to the top. Were you like the rest of us with just, you know, no fingernails left and just shouting his name like a young temptress to him?
Is it bad that I wasn't? Because I was just like, we know he's going to do it. And when you do look up like the Mustafi Wikipedia page, it's probably just a picture of him on the floor sliding somewhere. And this one, yeah, he was just a little reckless and trying to do a little too much. And he does tend to get a little panicky. Luckily, it didn't pay off. But, you know, you keep playing with fire and you're going to get burned. And we almost got burned today. And luckily, you know, we were able to, you know, snuff that match out. But Mustafi definitely likes to do that trick where you just see how long you can brush your hand over the fire, and you just get a little slower and slower, and eventually he's gonna cost us something. But luckily it didn't pay off. But it's peak Mustafi. Just let me see how tight I can make this and give everybody a heart attack.
Ellis, what did you think about our defensive performances as a whole? Obviously, that contains Mustafi in it. What do you reckon to Holding and Socrates as a trio?
I thought Socrates was very physical today. There was a point in the first half when he completely manhandled King and got a yellow card for his troubles. But I don't think the defence as a whole, as the whole team defending, was that bad. Was great, but I think the three at the back were all right. It's just the protection that they didn't get, which didn't help them. Again, Mustafi, there's no point in even talking about him, because like Jason just said, that's just Mustafi. You just accept it now. It's not even a surprise when he does do it. I didn't think Holding put too much wrong. At times I thought the centre backs got quite high up the pitch as well as the wing backs, which was a bit scary. But as a trio, I didn't think they did too bad. I'm not sure it's something that I'd want to do in the future. I think we're much better at our back four, and our midfield protects our back four better when there's three of them than just two and the wing backs bombing on. But I didn't think they were particularly bad at all. It's just Mustafi, and it's just I was watching the end of the game like hiding behind my shirt like that, because it's just so typical of Arsenal. I even put in the group, I'm just waiting for us to commit too many men forward and then concede in the 90-plus minute or something ridiculous like that. And I shouldn't really be that worried, because that is one of those free kicks that you say too close to the goal to be like dangerous, but you never know with our defence, and you can just see it bending in or ricocheting off Mustafi's arse and then hitting Socrates in the face and then bouncing off the back of the post and then hitting Leno in the back of the head and going in. It is what it is, and we didn't concede, and we won 2-1, and we can all breathe a sigh of relief and look forward to the big game on the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't wait for Vorska midweek, big game in our season. Let's go into listeners' questions, because that's the game wrapped up. Should we just go quickly, man of the match?
I think he meant to say man of the match.
But no, he definitely meant to say man of the month.
Man of the month. I'll start with you. Who was your man of the match today, there, Ellis? What did you think?
I don't know. I think it's a pretty slim pickings. I didn't think Kolasinac had a particularly good game, but he's got two assists. So I think I'll just have to give it to him purely on the fact that he's contributed the most to the win. Other than that, potentially Leno again with some of the saves that he made, but I'll go for Klasenac just because goals wins you games and he contributed to two of them. Yourself?
Yeah. It's hard for me to not give it to Leno because some of those saves he made were crucial and clutch. And I know some people were in the chat box earlier were talking about the distribution that he had and it not being that great there. But at the same time, he came up big for us when we needed it. And, you know, he's only got one clean sheet for us. I think, you know, our keepers this season have been a little left out to dry. But for me, it would still probably be Leno because he did contribute two goals, but he also tried to almost concede a couple of goals in Klasenac. So that weighs that out for me a little bit. But I that or, you know, Aubameyang. I don't think he played terribly today. He didn't have the greatest service up front. You know, took his chance when he had it there and was able to slot it home. So one of those two probably would be my Leno or Pierre.
Cool. I know Josh is back.
He can't. Sorry. Jace was telling us about how long he's got left. I was saying, well, I've got 7% battery on my laptop, so it should be all right. That sounds a quick
7%. That's like the 7% on my sprinting when I play indoor. It's a very quick 7%. While I'm still here, though, since you can't see the questions, yes. Josh, I'll run question time here. And we are going to start out here. Let's go ahead and go with our good friend over at Marble Halls TV asks, will City equal or better the 49 undefeated? Do you think they can go undefeated? And we'll go to Josh, since we didn't hear his man of the match. We'll go to Josh on this one. Do you think City's got what it takes, or do you see a banana peel in the season coming up for him?
I really hope not. I still think we might have a chance against them, or it'll be something weird because like Pep teams after like February, March, they normally get, you know, distracted and drop off a little bit. I remember with Bayern, you know, they'd occasionally lose to someone like Paderborn in March because they'd be too busy thinking about a Champions League game and they'd already had the league wrapped up by that point. So same with Liverpool as well because they're unbeaten as well. If they could both lose when they play each other, that would be excellent. Just to kind of get this done once and for all.
Would you like Liverpool not to go unbeaten? Or would you like Liverpool to go unbeaten but still not win the league?
Oh, I would like... I don't know. Who's going to be... Liverpool fans...
I'd rather you go unbeaten and still not win the league.
Because that'd just be funny. Because they'd be like, yeah, we're unbeaten. Yes. You'd be like, yes. Yeah, but did you win the league?
Yeah.
Have you ever won a Premier League?
Yeah, you still wouldn't have a gold trophy, so shut up.
Yeah, but it's Liverpool fans, right? So they'll still go on about it anyway because they've got a wonderful history. Haven't they just?
All right. Next, we'll go on here to the next question. Ellis, this one's going to be for you. Peter Coulson asks, tactically, apart from playing out from the back, what discernible difference does Emery Ball have from Wenger Ball?
Literally what he just said apart from that is probably the only main difference I can see so far. Other than the glaring sort of obvious things of changing the in-game a bit more, adapting your team to the opposition, we're all very aware that Wenger wouldn't really do that. He just expect the team when they play well enough, they can beat anyone on their day, which was the case. It's hard to argue it not being the case, but it doesn't always work because if you're not playing at the top of your game, you're not going to win the game because that's what the Arsenal were like. Whereas with Emery, we all know he likes to sort of do his video analysis. He will study the opposition and change accordingly like he did today with the back five. And although I wasn't particularly keen on it, it worked and it's refreshing to say the least. I think the playing out the back, it got a lot of... negative sort of press, I'd say, at the start of the campaign, especially with Cech not really being able to do it. Since Leno's been in the sticks, it's not really been that much of an issue. And we saw a lot with Pep when he first came to Man City that it didn't always work out, but we'll get better at it, just like the old saying is, that practice makes perfect. The more we do it, the better we'll get. And we definitely don't seem to be having as many comments on us playing from the back. And it's one of those things that if you can get it down to a T, it'll give you a good tactical advantage if you can do it. So, yeah, I'm all for it. And I'm just happy with the change, if anything, whether it works in the long run or not. It's just refreshing to have a bit of change in the way we play.
I would say that, and probably especially more so at home, I've seen it, but just the way that we press seems to be a little more intense and well thought out there. I think there were times under Wenger where we pressed, but I think it's become much more of a sort of
point of emphasis. Half-hearted, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was trying to get the ball high up the pitch, like whatever. Now, like I think you can see more organization behind it. I'm gonna take this one. It's for me, real quick, from again Peter Coulson here. Our NFL franchise, the LA Rams, are Super Bowl bound, so they're not my franchise though. So no, it doesn't make me happy. I'm a Panthers fan, being that I'm in Carolina. But the Rams are a very fun team to watch, and if the Panthers don't make it to the playoffs, I probably will be cheering for the Rams, as Josh has a nice big smile on his face as he's also a Rams fan. But yeah, fun, definitely a fun team to watch. Great offense, really good defense as well. But yeah, I'm actually headed after this podcast to go watch some football. So
in the offseason, if we could have Aaron Donald instead of Mustafi at the back, I'd be greatly appreciated.
Davey will be turning in his hungover grave as he hears us talk not about Arsenal and about Handegg.
Yep. It's okay. He's talked about rugby before, so I'm not gonna say anything there. All right. Here we go. Let's see. I'm gonna come back to Josh on this because this is a bit of a let's go. Unique 79 asks for you, Josh, with Welbeck out injured for a long time, should we look to bolster our squad in the January transfer window? And if so, who would you get for that role? There is almost you don't want to say a third choice. Yeah, you don't want to say a third choice striker, because if you're playing Lacazette and Aubameyang up top together, then technically he's second choice.
Yeah, I think it depends on what kind of position you're wanting to replace Welbeck in, because Welbeck wasn't really playing striker all that often for us. I think we're okay with strikers. Perhaps if we let Nketiah go out on loan, that would be my preference, is let him go out and bring in someone that we can get in. You know, like an Olivier Giroud would be perfect. That's who I'd go after. That's who I'd want.
You have no arguments for me.
But I'm living in the past. Or you have someone who can sit out on the wing and, you know, block up one side like Welbeck can. And I think that's the position we actually need, rather than striker. So we don't have to play a Aubameyang out wide. We can, play Lacazette or Aubameyang and have another player out there as an option. But I couldn't tell you off the top of my head who I'd want, especially in January. It's going to be so difficult to get hold of someone. But no doubt, knowing Missenslat, so long as they play in Dortmund, he's seen them play. So it'd probably be Jadon Sancho or Pulisic. It'd be one of those two.
oh man. All right. Well, I must dip out. So Ellis is going to finish. Thanks everybody though for watching. Thanks J Rob and Yvonne for those donations, and appreciate it. You guys, sorry it took us long to get on here, but ta-ta.
Bye, Jason.
Bye, Jason. I miss you already.
Come back. We miss you. Right. Jake in there. I'm just trying to figure out which ones he hasn't already asked. Has he asked about how many of the players you saw today? This is by David Keith. I don't think he's asked this one. How many of the players we saw today that will be gone next season? So we need a fast winger to be signed next season. Can we accommodate Laka and Alba together up front? Is that what you just asked?
No, he hasn't just asked that. So I can answer it if you'd like.
Yes, go on.
You can answer it. the players that play today, how many would still be there? I think probably two out of that starting 11 won't be starters for us next season. but who would? And then do we need a fast winger? Probably, but I don't think. But we've got one of the fastest players in world football up front, and we're not really utilizing his pace. So I'm not really sure if we need a fast winger. Perhaps we just need someone that can actually play a ball to him in time,
Yeah, maybe a
quick
tricky
enough.
winger who can actually cross.
Yeah, that would be good. I think we've got a question about a winger who can cross, haven't we? Further down, and I cannot think
Have you
who
put it
answered
in?
it. No, it was about Maitland-Niles. You might see it, and I'm going to ask that question to you, but I can't see the chat box.
Well, I can't see it either. What are you talking about? This is awful. Help.
Says
With
AMN.
Welbeck? AMN. Aha. Alex Smith. Here we go. Here's a question. Is this for me? Am I reading it to
Yes.
myself?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Ellis, your question is from Alex Smith. What are your opinions on AMN featuring on the right wing with Bellerin? Has pace, has a cross in him, and he will track back, hopefully. Well, Alex, I haven't really seen much of Ainsley Maitland-Niles on the wing because I don't really watch much youth football. I know he played there a lot. In terms of how he'd work with Bellerin, because he's played quite extensively as a fullback or a wing back when we were playing in Europa League last season, I think he is probably more likely to track back. He's certainly got a lot of pace. It's hard to say. For me, I thought he was always someone that would probably end up in the centre of midfield. I know he has got the pace and the recovery pace to get back as well. I'd certainly like to see it given a go. He has had a go up there, hasn't he, against was it Lisbon in the Europa League, Josh? Do you know? Did he play there?
Yes, he did.
Yes. And there's not really a game you can really go into too much detail about because it was a boring nil-nil draw, and the one previous was a 1-0 draw. We didn't really win, but we didn't really do much. So it's hard to really judge. He probably needs a few more games out there. And then we can see from there. But we'll move on to another question. Which one haven't we asked? I think we're getting to the end of them, to be honest. Has he asked the one about Nketiah from Unique79?
I don't know. No,
Should
don't think so.
Nketiah slowly start getting into the first team now, or should he continue to play for our under 23s? What do you think, Josh?
I will take that question as the only person here. I think on Nketiah, I said previously on the other answer to my question that I think that Nketiah is a difficult one. We either stick with him, keep him out for a couple of more games. So, ideally at his age, we've seen what Reece Nelson's doing at Hoffenheim, that, give him 20 plus games a season and he could really do something in a decent league. But is he going to get that chance at Arsenal? Probably not. So, it's either get him playing youth football more or give him a loan in January. I think that's what I'd be looking to do, to be honest, rather than anything else in particular. But yeah, I don't know about you on that one, Ellis.
Yeah, it's difficult. He is in sort of in that player development limbo stage, isn't he? I think he's too good for the under 23s who just seem to be banging in the goals. But I don't think physically and the way he's developed enough yet, he's good for the first team. He probably would get some games in Europa League and he'll probably, well, maybe not against Tottenham in the League Cup. But you're probably right. I'd agree with you. He needs a loan probably in a lower Premier League team or a Championship team where you'll get a bit more physicality in the game and sort of get a bit better at that element. Other than his goals against Norwich that he got in the League Cup last season, I haven't seen massive amounts of him, and I don't think he's really developed enough yet to warrant being our third or second choice striker for me, anyway.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to have to be back to you, Ellis, for another question.
I think that is pretty much all we have. So I think Shredder may have asked them all out of order, so I'm very confused because he asked the NFL one, which is the end, and then there's nothing after that. So
We have the other one from K-Man 1867, based on preseason expectations, which team has been the biggest disappointment this season? I know that's a big overarching one, but should we just go with how Arsenal have been based on your pre-match estimations?
Pre-match or pre-season?
Pre-season, sorry.
Pre-season. I wasn't really expecting too much for the season, to be fair. As the state of our squad and the way we've been playing wasn't like in a good position. So basically, I thought maybe fifth, maybe fourth. I think fourth could have been our best set. I think I was looking at probably if we were going to get into fourth, sneaking in over Tottenham or United. But with the way Spurs have been playing, obviously just got a good result against Chelsea, it's going to be difficult to sort of get ahead of them. They haven't really signed anyone in pre-season, so I thought that might be someone we could get ahead of. And as for Man United, Jose Mourinho, third season, there's not really much more to say. They don't look great this season. I think the next two Premier League games against those two clubs are going to be the ones that we'll need to make sure we win. I think dropping points against the likes of Chelsea or Liverpool or Man City, it's likely to happen. Although I think we probably could have beaten Chelsea, and they're showing against Spurs, makes me think we definitely should have beaten them. But the teams we need to take the points off are your Tottenham and your Man United, because those are the two we're trying to get into the top four for. But for me, in terms of our expectation, or my expectations before pre-season, I think we're there or thereabouts. I don't think we've been exceeding my expectations at all, and I don't think we've really underachieved. I think we just sort of improved, but slightly. But that's all you can really hope for, and that's all I was hoping for. What about yourself?
Yeah, I would completely agree with what you said. That it's been, I don't know, almost like too soon to say really at the moment, but really impressive on early showings from that point of view. Anyway, as we said, we've come to the end of the questions, and that is the end of the show. Thank you to the 136 people that are now watching, and I'm going to assume mine says 39 likes, but I've liked myself. So that's at least 38, and Ellis has probably done the same as a Shredder.
That's 45 now to be 46.
46.
Because I've just liked it.
There we go. Come on, guys. Tappy, tappy. We'll make Jason happy. That's the rhyme.
That's correct. If you don't get tapping, people, there will be trouble. Get on with it.
There we go. So the ghost of Christmas past. You heard, boys. Right, and girls, let's get in. And with that, I will say thank you to my guests, Ellis and Jason Schrader, who has had to leave us, and the ghostly voice of Jason Davies. Thanks, chats.
Ooh.
I'm scared right now.
Cheers, Ellis. Thank you very much. We will be back for the Vorsklik game. That is on Thursday, and I believe the group, I cannot think who's on it at the moment. This is what happens when you're not organised. Who is on that game? Ellis, you're on that one, aren't you, Vorska?
I don't know. Am I?
I don't know.
Who knows? It'll be a surprise for everyone.
I know it's not Chris Carpenter. Let's put it that way, guys. It's not Chris Carpenter. But there will also be a podcast this week as well. That'll go out, that'll be recorded Tuesday, be out Tuesday or Wednesday. And yeah, with that, thank you very much. And let's call it a night. Thank you.